Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albracht alongside Paul Savage in for Tommy today. Max Power in for Jad today. Welcome in. I am getting right now set up our video stream. So forgive me, I'm running the stream today. Normally, Tommy and Max handle that. So we're pulling double duty. So I just resent out on X the video stream, which you can find there on X. You can also find it on Facebook and on YouTube. You can watch us there. You can go back and listen to anything. Those get archived there, which is kind of cool, too. And then, of course, if you're not able to listen to us on KFH at any point, you can find us for free on the Odyssey app or at kfhradio.com. We will get to the Royals and the day baseball that they have in front of them in just a little bit. We'll preview today's game specifically. A couple of stories we'll touch on here in this hour at minimum. Jacksonville and a new stadium renovation nearing final approval. And the Texas A&M baseball coach, fresh off an appearance in the College World Series in a decisive game loss, immediately goes across the street to Texas. So we'll get into both of those. Let's start with the Jags here, Paul. So the Chiefs in Jackson County, basically they had a plan for Arrowhead. The voters resoundingly said no. In Jacksonville, and look, the politics on all this are different because different places do things a little differently. In Jackson County, it went up for a public vote. In Topeka, lawmakers approved this through star bonds without a public vote. In Jacksonville, the city council there voting 14-1 to approve the agreement between the Jags and the city on a $1.4 billion renovation. It would appear that does not also go to a public vote. And theirs is for about 55% of the work. The Jags will pick up the tab on the other 55%. There's a lot to unpack there. They don't have to go to a public vote, so it's impossible to know, right, what the appetite for these things would be if it was at a public vote. We know what they were in Missouri with the hottest franchise in, you know, in sports, basically, in the Chiefs. So what do you make of this for the Jaguars and what they were able to get accomplished here that they've been working on, God, forever, it feels like?
Well, for Jacksonville, Florida, for the residents of that city, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Man, it's hard to get an NFL franchise. You know, they don't just give those out, and they don't. And it's hard to get somebody to move to your city. And anything that would put the jeopardy of that franchise, if I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, I'd say, wait a second, what do we need to do? What do we got to accomplish to get this team to stay? And that's what they did, which makes me wonder, what are you thinking if you're a resident of Kansas City, Missouri? Now, Missouri, I'm talking about
Jackson
Missouri
County.
Yes, I'm talking about.
You're thinking billionaire owners ought to pay for their own toys. That's probably what you're thinking.
I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second. We may be having a little standoff here, and you'd better be ready to accept the results if you guess wrong. And by the way, you're a billionaire owner. You know, you got to be a billionaire for a reason. You understand business. You know the value of a dollar. You know what to do with those dollars. That's how you got to be a billionaire. And one funny thing, billionaires don't like losing their money or giving their money out when they don't needlessly need to do it. That's a fact. That is a fact. So what I'm saying is that it's a contrast of two situations, two towns, two I guess constituencies. One says, no, you go ahead. If you want to become the Kansas City, you know, Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals from Kansas, then go ahead and do it. I mean, it's just on the other side of the river. They're not going to move very far. But, I mean, to me, it's just like day and night. One town wants them. One town says, eh. But I understand that the town that says, eh, isn't going to really lose them. All they're going to do is cross the river. And maybe that's coming into play. You know, Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of leverage. They either say, well, we're going to San Antonio, or we're going to Memphis, or we're going to someplace where there is no NFL franchise, but one that would, you know, would accommodate us size-wise and all that kind of stuff. That's what could happen. And I'm telling you right now that Jacksonville said, no, we don't want you to leave, because billionaires are funny about things when it comes to their money, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, look, I think there's a couple good points in there. The risk for Jackson County voters in reality has been very small. Kansas has swooped in basically to make sure the Chiefs aren't leaving the region. So, you know, you lose some tax dollars there if you're Jackson County, but you don't lose the Chiefs. That threat isn't there. It's really interesting that you see this deal and the deal that went through, that it's just waiting on owner approval, and I don't know why they wouldn't. But basically, the city, Jacksonville, picks up 55% of the cost, which would mean Shad Khan, the owner there, and the Jags pick up the other 45% of the cost, of the price tag. The state of Kansas, Paul, I believe, is offering up like 70 to 75% of this project. It is a no-brainer for the Chiefs to come across if Missouri doesn't answer. And that is the safety. Kansas will save the Chiefs. Like, if Missouri doesn't come up with anything here, regardless of whether you think this is a good deal, a bad deal, makes economic sense, does not, just remember always that Kansas saved the Chiefs, right? Because I think one of the big reasons Kansas is being so aggressive is, even no matter what side of the border it's on, I think the folks in Kansas know you don't want to lose the Chiefs. And if you don't think the Chiefs would ever leave, see the Rams, see the Houston Oilers, see the Baltimore Colts. There are a lot of franchises. See the Cleveland Browns. There are a lot of franchises and a lot of fan bases that they'd never leave. They leave all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not a foregone conclusion. That's what's a little surprising. Jackson County, I think what we saw, Paul, was this trend of owners taking public money to build their stadiums. People are fed up with it. They've seen all the reporting that it never pans out financially the way it's billed. But at the same time, there's a lot of intangible things that come along with it, which is why it's so fascinating as the state of Kansas has entered the conversation. But it is pretty interesting that the Jaguars, who have never won anything and have been, you know, they've had some good seasons mixed into the last couple of decades. They've had some pretty good runs. But they could find a way to fund 55% of this. Can somehow this, you know, it gets into the politics of the region. I don't know Missouri politics. Certainly don't know city and county politics in those specific areas. But I would think that Missouri will counter with something. But if we have this laid out in front of us and it's 55% in Jacksonville, is Missouri really going to get much better than that?
Mm-hmm.
And only that, and the Chiefs are staring 70 to 75% from the state of Kansas?
Well,
isn't that a no-brainer if you're the Chiefs?
I think it is.
You're going to go where you can get 70% of it.
I think you are. And you know, the Hunts have money. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Hunt family has a little money. But they're used to wanting to keep their money. By the way, I loved your point earlier in this conversation, where you said, you know something, in Jacksonville, Florida, they decided not to let the public vote, or they're not going to do it. They're going to do it. The board of whatever it is. I don't know if it's the city council or a county commission. I don't know who voted, but voted in group of people said, this is what we're going to do. That's not the way it worked in Kansas City, Missouri. The public said, no, we're not going to fund this. The Hunts have some money. They can get their hands wet a little bit in this whole thing too. So there's a huge difference in that. And here again, we're talking about, we know that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to end up if the worst comes to worst, Kansas City Chiefs and Royals are going to end up on the other side of the river. Well, big deal. I mean, you know, if you live in Kansas City, Kansas City is basically one big city. Even when you cross the river and go from one state to the other, it's still considered. I mean, I do it all the time when I'm in Kansas City. You don't even think about it. So So with that being said, it's
because you got to get your bets in, right, Paul? You gotta cross the river
you got a point. That's not a bad point. That is not a bad point because there's obviously some things that the Chiefs can probably do from a legislated standpoint with regards to gambling, and I don't know what they are. I'm just saying I imagine there are some things that can be done. I mean, without touching the product on the field. I don't mean that at all. But you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Personally, I'd love to see the Chiefs and the Royals both move to the Kansas side because, you know, in Kansas, we've always had this, well, we're not big enough for anything. We're just not big enough to have, you know, some sort of sports franchise that would be considered major league. Now, you're from Texas. I mean, you've had two baseball teams in the majors. You have two NFL teams. You've got three NBA teams. You've got, I think, isn't it just one hockey team? Is it one? I think it is just one. One hockey team. So, I mean, you've had major league sports your entire life in the state of Texas. You're used to it and probably take it for granted.
Yeah, but not anywhere near where I'm from.
Well, though, but I mean, you have the pride, the Texas pride. And Texas... And I'm going to say this in a general way, but I think you'll agree with me. People from Texas have a unique pride about where they're from more than many, many, many other states in the union, including Kansas, if I might say, including Kansas.
A lot of people would call it arrogance. I would probably agree with it, but I don't care. Like, I think that arrogance is a point of the pride. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been there now in a decade.
But it's unique.
Here's all of this. When I see Jacksonville and I see 55% on their renovation, and by the way, good for Jacksonville. I want that. I love when there are succeeding and thriving sports franchises in some unique places. Jacksonville would be one of those.
I think you're right. I like it too.
I'm happy for them. But when I see they have worked for, you know, I think it's like 16 years on this deal. When I see they're offering up 55%, when I see in LA and in Denver, the owners picking up the majority of the tabs on their stadiums, when I look around the country at how these things are playing out, and I look at the situation in the Kansas City region, it's every single day, I think more and more, that the Chiefs are going to come to the state of Kansas. I just don't think the state of Missouri is going to be able to match what is being offered to the Chiefs in a star bond by the state of Kansas. And I think they're going to come across.
You know, that's amazing.
Everything points to it, Paul. Everything points to it that's happening around the country. Teams aren't getting this kind of offer anymore. And here this one sits in front of the Chiefs.
That's right. And one of the interesting things about that is you look at the state of Missouri with two very, very populous states, cities, I mean, inside the state of Missouri, of course, with Kansas City and St. Louis. And basically, that means you're going to be down to basically one major league franchise, aren't you?
You're going to be the Blues and the Cardinals.
Well, I guess two.
You have two.
So you're going to be down to two. You've lost your football. You lost your NBA team a long time ago.
You know, they don't lose football or baseball. That's the thing. They don't. The fans don't lose anything.
No, that's here. That's a good point.
Don't lose a thing. The fans don't care. The fans are going to just drive to a different address. It doesn't take them any longer to get there. It makes no difference whatsoever to the fans.
Right.
The fascinating part is what difference does it make to the state? Mm-hmm. And is there enough incentive? And look, I think too often we look at things in a black and white way when there is gray in almost everything. Uh-huh. And while I generally, I mean, if you've listened to me here or anywhere, or I've been on the national airwaves saying this, it's ridiculous that these owners don't pay for their own things and these stadiums get public money, all this stuff. However, there's gray area. And you can look at it even more locally. Look in Wichita. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine Wichita without Interest Bank Arena? Could you imagine Wichita without Riverfront Stadium? I don't think there's any question that it is. There are reasons to do it, and different places have different reasons. And, you know, in Wichita, the city of Wichita needed those things to keep up with, you know, an evolving society where you need to be attractive to draw people in. Hmm. And if you're talking about from a state level, Paul, from a state level, we're looking at the opportunity here at an NFL franchise, which means you could have Super Bowls played in the state of Kansas, which means you could have drafts in the state of Kansas. That is an opportunity the state of Kansas perhaps has never sniffed before. Right? Like this, if the state of Kansas, from a cultural standpoint, what would ever come close to what it would be to bring in an NFL franchise?
Impossible.
To the state of Kansas.
Right, it's impossible.
And also there's this unique opportunity where the Chiefs coming to the state of Kansas, in theory, and I would even say most likely, doesn't impact you and I and what our tax situation here is in Wichita very much, if at any at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully if you project these things out and you do it right and the lawmakers do their jobs, it doesn't cost us a thing. It's a sales tax added to the area of it being used. But man, now you've got all these other things. The World Cup is coming to Kansas City. What if the World Cup is coming to Kansas? You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I think part of the World Cup will come to Kansas. I think the Sporting KC facilities will be used. It's just wild to imagine. Now, is that as big a deal in L.A.? No. L.A. doesn't care. L.A. doesn't need – L.A. And that could have something to do with why that stadium was basically privately funded, is because you could tell people in L.A., hey, we need to raise your taxes out in California even more to pay for a football stadium. They'd be like, no, we don't care. We don't need that here. Like, that's not enhancing the footprint of L.A. It's L.A. Do they need that? No. Kansas sure could use it. Couldn't we?
I think so.
We don't have anything like that. Never have.
Right, right. Well, I guess I've got a couple of questions for you. You're bringing things to my mind that makes me think. And one of them is there a will there be a residual, some sort of disgust with the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals? And if there is, what percentage of Missouri people would say, you know something, they left Missouri. Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals. I'm a fan. To heck with it. I'm not following it.
So absolutely not.
So there's not going to be. Well, see, I thought there might be 5%, 10%.
5%? No.
Five people. Okay. Well, good, because I thought there could be. I think that's crazy. But also, you know, rarely do we give kudos to politicians. This isn't a political show, that's for sure. And rarely do we even talk about politicians. But in the case of this Royals and Chiefs moving to the state of Kansas, I got to get hats off to the Democratic governor and to, I guess, the Republican House of Representatives and Senate, and say you guys worked together and you got this thing through. You didn't have to go in front of the people. You guys took care of business and gave the state of Kansas a chance for something to happen. Quite frankly, it may never happen in our lifetime, yours or mine, or maybe even your children's.
Well, they did it.
Lives.
You know, they did it with sports betting, and I think that was the precursor to all of this.
You know, that might be right.
But
yeah,
I think in the state of Kansas, you have, generally speaking, reasonable decisions that are made most of the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are outliers to that, of course there are.
Right.
But that also, like, the people that have the appetite to be state lawmakers, Paul. We're not talking about the spotlight seeking leeches sometimes involved in like national government. You're talking about state politicians who, generally speaking, are people that have been successful. I think most of the time people have been successful in some walk of life who want the best for their state, right? I think when you start to localize politics, you get more of that. And so yeah, I do think it's important that smart people, and oftentimes smarter people in these avenues than you or I, generally, across party lines, agree that this is a unique and good opportunity. I do think that matters because, you know, in the state government, you've got lawmakers that do all sorts of things as their day job, right?
That is correct.
Republicans, Democrats, yeah. We're talking
about. They all about have jobs. No, most of them have jobs.
There's no like glory and fame in being a state politician. Most of us don't even know who our own representatives are. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it is what it is. But the fact that you get that group of people together across both political aisles and they all can look at this and agree this is a chance and an opportunity worth taking for the state, I think that matters. I do think that matters. And I don't know if a public vote would go the same way, but we elect representatives sometimes for a reason. And if they think this is a decision that benefits the state, then I am willing to say, go for it. Like, because I think the method of funding is right. Fine. Like, right. I'm comfortable with the method of funding. Now, if you told me that people in, you know, Dodge City need to be footing the tax bill for a stadium in Kansas City, Kansas, I would say you're insane. That's ridiculous and a bad policy. But this isn't that. This is a sales tax that will cost people using the specific thing coming in. And I like star bonds, by the way. I especially like them for this state.
They have a
because
purpose.
I think you do need.
That's right.
Well, I think you need to incentivize things to come in. It's mm-hmm. You know, there's not the inherent population base to attract these businesses in. So get them in here,
right?
And you hope it grows. So
yeah,
I think look, the more of this I see Jacksonville. I see the length of time they've worked on it. I see the price tag they're willing to pay after all that work, right. And it's at 55%. The offer from the state of Kansas, I don't think Missouri's going to match it. I don't think they could match it if they wanted to match it. And I would tell you that I think right. The Chiefs are coming to Kansas.
Right.
I don't know about the Royals. It sounds like it probably could be both, but I would say at least the Chiefs. Right. I think they're going to be
Kansas. Before we get out of this segment, I want to point this out. I don't think there will ever be another Green Bay. You know, when it comes to a major league franchise of some sort, whatever the sport, the days.
I mean, you just had Jacksonville.
Well, but Jacksonville is still a million population. And by the way, it's the largest. Do you know what Jacksonville, at least I think this is still the case. Do you know Jacksonville is the largest city in the United States by square feet or square miles? I didn't know that. I found this out about a year ago. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, Green Bay, have you ever been to the city of Green Bay? Wisconsin?
I've not.
I have. Not. We played professional indoor football against the Green Bay Blizzards a number of years ago, and their stadium, indoor stadium, is like a block away from Lambeau. That's a small city. There's nothing to that city. It's got a downtown Hutchinson. I mean, it's
so Jacksonville has the largest city of has the largest population in Florida,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't have the largest metropolitan population in Florida.
That might be the case. But the point is that Kansas may never ever get this chance again, particularly if that stadium is built.
I don't think it will. I don't think Kansas would ever have this opportunity.
Never again. So will you take advantage of it now? Because if they work out and they get a new stadium or they spend, you know, $2 billion on a remodel, if that's the case, whatever it is, that's going to last years in my lifetime and we'll never see this opportunity again.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'm kind of excited about being from a state that has two major league franchises. I kind of like it.
Three. Sporting KC's already up there.
Well, okay. Okay, I got you. All right.
I still want to say I'm indifferent to where the Chiefs end up. I do think the Chiefs need to stay in the region.
No, you
that
wanted
is
Kansas. No, don't you want Kansas?
No, I think I've come around to it. Not like I'm not some great cheerleader for this, so I don't want people to misunderstand. I am very intrigued by it, and I would tell you this. If I was a decision maker that had to vote on it, and it's already been voted on and signed into law and all that stuff, but if I were one of those lawmakers, I think I would have voted yes. I think I would have voted yes to the star bond. I'm almost certain I would. I don't have all the details in front of me, but I get it. I get why the risk. I get the risk reward component of this that makes it something the state should be interested in. And the other part of it is, too, the risk of losing the Chiefs from the region is also high enough that I would say, you know what, Missouri – can't get it figured out, can't get out of your own way on anything politically these days, Kansas will take care of you. Don't worry. We'll make sure they're still around here. It's a wild story, but this Jacksonville thing makes it I mean, it makes it even more for me think that the Chiefs are going to be in Kansas. And, right. and you know, the Royals part in that, I think, is still a little more up in the air because I do think they'd be like to be a downtown in Kansas City. So I think you could see them, you know, in different places. But listen.
They're not wanted in Kansas City. They're not wanted in downtown Kansas.
Well, I don't know. They better start winning some baseball games against okay. Miami Marlins.
I got you.
Tell you that right now.
Yeah, I got you
we'll
there.
We'll get into that in just a little bit. Let's take our break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about Jim Schlossnagel down in Texas in the baseball and switching and going to your rival and all that. We'll also get you prepped on that Royals baseball today. Let's set up our second giveaway today. The Dam Jam, one of the hottest festivals this summer in Goddard, Kansas, July 19th and 20th. You can see Brantley Gilbert, Stone Temple Pilots, Dustin Lynch, Jody Messina, and many more. If you want to go, we're giving away pairs of two-day general admission tickets. All you got to do is text the keyword PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y, to the number 20357, and you could be on your way to that epic festival experience. You can enter once every 24 hours. Message and data rates apply. The winners will be announced Friday at 6 o'clock. Good luck, everybody. That's PARTY. To 20357 for two-day general admission tickets to Dam Jam next month in Goddard. Don't go away. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for getting us fueled up. Mornings at KFH, the staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee.
Right here.
Good luck to our... to our people trying to get some of those Dam Jam tickets. Again, that's just PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y, to the number 20357 via text message. Message and data rates apply. Good luck on those. We'll give those away on Friday. Paul, there is this story. Texas A&M just lost the College World Series in a decisive Game 3 to Tennessee. Shout out to Hayes native Dylan Dreiling. But the losing team, Texas A&M, is coached by Jim Schlossnagel. Now, you might remember his name if you follow college baseball, because he built TCU into a bit of a powerhouse.
Yes, he did.
Goes to A&M, now jumps ship and goes essentially across the street to Texas. And what is one of the most heated, genuine hate rivalries in college sports, A&M and Texas... There is not a greater big brother, little brother dynamic in college sports, in my opinion, than Texas to Texas A&M. Texas A&M puts their disdain for Texas in their, like, school song. It's so bad. There is a raging jealousy among A&M people to Texas. They've had this SEC thing to boast about for a while. Now Texas is also in the SEC, and now their coach leaves A&M and goes to Texas. I mean, you want to talk about instantly becoming a public enemy number one. My goodness. Jim Schlossnagel with a bold, bold move to go to Texas here, Paul. That's a... Woo! Well, they got to play each other. He's got to show his face in town.
that's right. You got to recruit the same kids that A&M's going to be. But you left one word out that I thought was kind of interesting in describing Texas A&M and Texas. You left a word out. Maybe you said it and it scooted over me. I was talking to our producer for just a second. You may have left this word out. The word hatred. Now, I don't like using the word hatred. I always told my kids, you don't hate anybody. So I hate that. No, you don't hate anybody. You don't hate anybody. You should never hate anybody. But guess what? These two organizations and universities and athletic programs hate each other. And you're from Texas. I'm not lying when I use the word hate, am I?
No, it's as bad as there is in the country. It's bad.
And so this is, not only is this, you know, significant in terms of, you know, Texas is getting a whale of a good baseball coach. I mean, they're in a university in the United States that if Coach Schlossnagel said, I'm open to coming to your university if you want me. There isn't a university in the country, I don't think, that wouldn't say, let's get this worked out. I mean, that's how good he is. I mean, he's the real deal. And he's going to the University of Texas. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a dynasty in the making. Now, part of this goes back into the current athletic director at the University of Texas was the athletic director when Schlossnagel was at TCU. So that makes a difference. They know each other. They respect each other. They have this desire to work together. They like each other. They trust each other, most important. And so we make the move. But this just isn't any move. This isn't somebody going from Tennessee to Memphis. This isn't somebody going from KU to K-State. This is not that. New Mexico to New Mexico State. This is not that. This isn't even Ole Miss to Mississippi State. This is different. This is totally different.
And don't misunderstand either. This isn't even Alabama Auburn. Like,
no,
I'm not saying this because I'm from the state of
that's a good one. Thank you.
I grew up farther from Texas and Texas A&M than I did from Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. From really Kansas. I bet you from Amarillo, you can get to Kansas and Kansas State as fast as you can get to College Station. It's like an 11 hour. So don't think it's because like I'm telling you. You want to talk about like that college sports hate? It does not get higher than Texas. Mm-hmm. Because there is such a jealousy component among A&M to Texas, at least in my observations among them. Like A&M feels like they're always having to, like, they're obsessed. They're obsessed with Texas. Obsessed with Texas. This would be bad anywhere you go.
Right.
But it's really bad here. But then you look at why. And Schlossnagel and Del Conte were tied together in TCU. That's his buddy.
That's right? Why.
That's his buddy.
That's what this is about.
I don't fault Schlossnagel for this. I think that you can easily see why he would do it. He just wants to go work with his buddy again. That's what's so crazy sometimes. Like we sometimes don't equate this to real life, right? I think Schlossnagel's and in his, you know, in his presser after the game, he basically said, I left my family to come take the A&M job. Like, he already made that part of the difficult decision to leave TCU. Right? He's already like, that's not where his roots are planted. He's just like in A&M to work. So if you've already had to make the difficult decision to leave, you know, your place, which is TCU, was there for almost 20 years, I think, then going across the street to work with your buddy, it's not that big a deal.
Well,
we would do that stuff all the time because, and here's the other part that we never give coaches enough. I don't want to say credit for this, but what would happen if Schlossnagel hadn't made the College World Series and had 2-3 years where they weren't very good? What would A&M have done?
That's a good question. That is a very good question.
To the curb.
Yeah.
So we always talk about this loyalty thing and on a one-way street. These coaches are not loyal to their universities. Well, universities fire coaches and buy them out all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So,
and coaches are survivors.
I don't hate the move. I think the move is fine. But I'm telling they won't like it, obviously.
Just a second. You think it's fine, but it's obvious you're no Texas A&M. You've had your face slapped, Jacob. You ought to know that about Texas A&M and their fans and who they are. They're entitled.
Let me tell you this.
They've had their face slapped. You know that.
I am far more fond of Texas Tech than either of them.
Well, of course you are. You're 100 miles from there.
Right, and Chris Beard left Texas Tech to go to Texas.
Right.
And I know that. I mean, you want to talk about heat.
It seems different, though.
You want to talk about heat, and Texas Tech fans have made it very clear how they feel about that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it's not the same.
Yeah, but Texas A&M just lost the World Series in 3 games. I mean, the World Series, 3 games.
Chris Beard was coming off of a Final Four at Texas Tech.
Well, okay. Yeah, you got a point. All right.
That heat happens. There is other heat, but it's not like because A&M. And if it was the other direction, Paul, it wouldn't be that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like had he been at Texas and left for A&M, Texas would be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean they wouldn't like it.
But it's
that it went the other way.
Yeah, how fast?
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, how fascinating, Jacob, would this story be that let's say A&M wins the World Series in three games and beats Tennessee, and now it appears to me this thing was in the works. I think it was going to happen no matter what happened. But let's just say you end up winning a World Series for Texas A&M. Do you take the Texas job? Because I think he takes the Texas job. This whole thing has happened way too fast for me to think it just has happened since the World Series. Because what was that? That was just Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. Monday night was the Game 3 played for the World Series championship at the college level. So something tells me this has been in the works. This just didn't happen in 2 days. Not from Tuesday to Wednesday morning.
Well, when it's Dale Connie, when it's your buddy, I mean, you didn't have to.
Yeah,
Like you don't that part of it. Yeah, it's not that. I'm looking like the war him. Have you ever been around Aggies, Paul?
Are you kidding? I have said numerous times on this show, playing in College Station football is the best. I say the best. For a player like me, it's the worst environment ever played in.
It's wild. It is nuts.
Listen,
I have family members that have gone to A&M, and so I and some of my best friends in life have gone to A&M, and I would tell them to their face, as I do frequently, you're all a bunch of nuts, like you're lunatics. The way that they like it's just weird down there, and especially when you get Aggies together, they start like chanting and speaking in tongues together. It's the wildest thing. But I'm looking at the war hymn for Texas A&M, and in there they sing about Texas and how they like they are. There is such a, I don't want to call it an inferiority complex, but such a complex when it comes to Texas among Texas A&M people. I don't know the history of it. I'm sure there is a history. I don't care. I just know it's there. And it doesn't go the other way nearly as much.
Right.
Nearly as much.
Well,
and to see it go that direction with a coach like that coming off of a college, it's just like, I'm just laughing. I'm like, God, how is he ever going to go on the road to College Station and coach a game there? It's going to be insane.
Even at the baseball level, it's going to be crazy. And by the way, I know a lot of people have bucket lists. You know, that list that you want of things that you want to do before you
Texas baseball's on the bucket list, yeah.
Well, No. I'm talking about Texas A&M football.
Oh, going to a football game?
I'm talking about if you want an experience like you've never seen before, and I know this sounds crazy, how could it be that way? But it is. And by the way, half that stadium stands up. Do you remember that?
It's weird.
Half the stadium never sits down. You don't need bleachers.
I've never been to a football game there, Paul.
No,
I've never been to a football game.
I'm stunned.
Well, yeah, I mean they are not very good. They're not very good. We didn't have a reason to drive to College Station.
I'll be darned. Okay.
Like they're just not. Isn't it? But you say all this. Isn't it crazy with them?
Oh,
their national titles that they claim go back to like the teens and 20s and 30s. When you have ever seen that and know the resources that they throw around there, isn't it unbelievable that they've never won a national championship?
It is kind of, and particularly, can I just throw one name out? I mean, this is like a walk down memory lane. Bear Bryant, can I throw that name out? You remember the Junction Boys? Did you ever read the book, The Junction Boys? I mean,
I think so.
Remember. Bear Bryant was at Texas A&M for a number of years. I mean, this is a storied place. It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
And bucket list, and Jacob, you need to put it on your bucket list.
I know
you're a Texas guy. You got to go, and you've got to participate in a football game at Texas A&M. It'll be like something you've never experienced. And it was for me having played there. It was an experience I'll never forget. And you'd have the time of your life. You would really
I have partied down there, Paul. I have done that.
Of course.
We used to get in my buddy's, beat up Camaro and literally drive across the state to just go party in these college towns. And we partied, we went and met up with our friends that went to A&M, and It's I'd have a hard time at a football game not just like laughing at everybody. I'd get beat up,
right?
Like, because it's weird, man. It is very strange,
right?
But I have fun with the strange. Yeah. I appreciate the strange. I do.
Yeah.
Again,
well,
that
would be where you're going.
So many family members who are great Aggies, but it's just odd. And so this happening, you sent me that, and I'm like, oh man, I can believe it, because I think the reasons he left are just fine.
Yeah,
I don't
just
have a problem with him leaving.
And by the way, I was just going to say, you know me, I have this old love for Texas football. I've just always loved it. It was an honor and a privilege, I'll just tell you right now, or our listeners, to have played in the old Southwest Conference. You haven't even thought of the old Southwest Conference, I'll bet, in years. But I played in it before, it wasn't too long after I played in it that, it merged and lost some members and they went different places and that kind of thing. But it was interesting. It was different for a Kansas kid to go to the state of Texas when the Southwest Conference was a big, big deal. And it was very unique, and it gave me a perspective of the honor and the love and the reverence that the state of Texas has for its people and the people have for the state of Texas. It's like, I don't think it's like any other state in the union. Maybe in Alabama, because the Alabama Tide football program might bring that state together. I don't know. But I can't think. Maybe Oklahoma. It might be Oklahoma. Maybe a little bit like it. But it runs so deep in the state of Texas, doesn't it? I mean, it's hard to even express it in words. The uniqueness of the state of Texas when it comes to football.
It is. It is a wild experience, Paul. We're getting a little bit of breaking news on the TBT.
Oh, okay. Let's go with it.
So we have, we know who they're playing in the first round, the after. So I'm trying to see if we have the full bracket out. The Marlins running out there, Paul, a pitcher I've never heard of, Valente Belozo, just called up. Gotta be, you don't lose that series, Royals. It'll be Brady Singer taking the mound. He's been good in day baseball this year. So it's really more about, though, can the offense just wake up a little bit? That game starts at 1:10. You'll hear it. Coverage here begins at 1:00 on KFH. The other thing that just popped in, and I want to make sure we get to this because we have just a minute here, Paul. The TBT sent out its bracket. So Saturday will be the opening games for the TBT. It's July 20th. You'll get the Aftershocks in the opener. They'll play at noon. And then the K-State alumni team plays at 2. So they play back-to-back. Then you get another game. And then the Mass Street team, which is the Kansas team, plays at 7. So then what you'd have after that, and this looks a little bit different on the days they're playing these games this year. So it goes from Saturday then to Monday on the 22nd. And you would potentially then in the second round have a Wichita State K-State matchup. Now, we know that's hard to accomplish. It is hard to win these games. You would have the Aftershocks and Purple Rain then, and then you would have KU, if it can win, playing in the second game on Monday at 8 o'clock at night. And then what you would have is a round of 16 that would feature a round of 16 game on that Wednesday night that could potentially be some combination of Kansas versus Wichita State or Kansas on the alumni team. So a good setup. I like it. I think it's a nice setup for this. And we'll see. But Saturday, Monday, Wednesday this year, the TBT is going to be hopping again this summer at Charles Koch Arena.
Always something fascinating and something, it's just kind of like a walk down memory lane a lot of times for the Wichita.
The rosters are looking good for all three teams.
Yeah, could be very good. It's going to be a lot of fun. Names that you recognize, and that's really a lot of fun.
It'll be good. Can we please just get at least two games of those teams playing each other?
Because
it is so fun seeing Charles Koch Arena rock like that. So hopefully we get that. But there you go. That information is out there now on social. We'll come back. We'll get you set up for the rest of the day here on KFH. Don't go away. Sports Daily coming right back.